Listen to Alan for Breakfast wherever you are. Download the Triple M app now.
Hey, Alan here, and welcome to the catch-up. It's a big show today. Shane Hope from the West Australian. We had a chat all about Gaff and that massive off-ball strike. Oh, geez, it's not pretty, is it? Also, Judith Lucy and Denise Scott join me as well to chat about their show coming to Bunbury this Friday, Disappointments. Out of Bounds with Leachy talking all things sports. Also, answer the tough questions on the show this morning. Who uses the crust from the bread for sandwiches? My wife did it for me. It puzzles me. I don't understand why this is still a thing. So we'll talk about that. Also, you could name the potential bus skeleton coming to the Perth Museum from Busselton. Also, Southwest Cougar stopped by for a bit of a chat, and Anita from Bridgetown. Enjoy the catch-up. Thank you. I noticed on the billing, it says Denise Scott and Judith Lucy. Whose option of the name which went first? Was there a little bit of argument in regards to that, or
purely I think yes, I'm the better performer and the funnier performer, so I went first. That's what I've always thought.
And Judith, I'm scared of her. she undermines me. She slaps me a lot when people can't see. And so I'm just terrified of her, Alan. So I just basically, whatever she says goes. She's also a lot closer to dying than I am. So I figure it all evens out in the end.
Absolutely. Denise, I saw you recently on Have You Been Paying Attention? You absolutely killed it. When are you back on that show?
Look, I imagine ASAP. I don't know. But surely to God.
Can we get back to me, Alan? Yeah. I just haven't been interview yes. We do now. Oh, I saw you. What have you been playing it? Oh, Studio 10. Oh, you at the Logies. Oh, isn't your career going from strength to strength? I've had it, Alan. Look, I'm the one from WA, and I want the focus to be back on me.
All right, let's put the focus back on you.
You, Alan, because it's becoming a nightmare here. I've tried slapping her face. It's just I can't get it settled down and understand that I'm in my 60s, I am closer to death, I deserve a break now. Anyway, back to Judith.
Well, you know, it's just as well that we're finishing off this entire tour in regional WA, because we can't stand each other, Alan. We've just had enough.
Talk me through the show name, Disappointments. What are we expecting on the night? Obviously not that.
Well, this is the twist, the sting in the tail, Alan, is that nobody leaves the show disappointed.
No.
From the moment we start, where we do embrace our disappointments, don't we?
Oh, we do. And we celebrate them, Alan. And, you know, everyone...
And there's so many.
There are so many. And everyone just skips out of the theatre just, you know, sort of feeling better about themselves, mainly because they're not us.
Oh, so it's a feel-good show. That's great.
It is. And there's dance, there's song, there's video, there's a set, there are three costume changes. Just, you know, forget Cirque du Soleil, Alan. This is really the show to see.
Three costume changes.
Oh,
three.
Yeah.
Three costume changes. There's even look, there is a bit of singing. But look, to be honest with you, don't pay for a ticket for that part of the show. But it's only a small amount, but it's
I'd pay money
emotional.
For the dancing, though.
Oh, the dancing is incredible.
And we've been choreographed, Alan. Oh. We've had a professional come in to work with us, and, the money's on the stage. You can really see. Well, actually, we both have an innate talent when it comes to dance, but someone has corralled that talent into something quite, well, as you've said, Scotty, explosive.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it. It's going to be in Bunbury. I cannot wait. August 10th. Going to be huge. Thank you so much for the chat today. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Pleasure, Alan. Thank you.
And can I just say a hello to my auntie Bev and Uncle Ron, who will be at the show in Bunbury, and hoping Beryl gets an aisle seat. That's her request. That's the sort of audience we have, Alan.
Fantastic. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Alan.
Thank you.
Love it. Denise Scott, Judith Lucy will be performing Disappointments this Friday at Breck, 7:30. Tickets at comedy.com.au. We saw that massive hit Gaff did on Brayshaw yesterday. It's got the whole country talking, including the man that I've got on the line from the West Australian, Shane Hope. Good morning, mate.
Morning, Alan.
Oh, geez, mate. It's not a good day in football when we see things like that, is it?
No, absolutely terrible. This is right up there with the Barry Hall-Brent Staker incident that happens, 10 years ago now. Mm. forget about Tom Bugg's hit on Callum Mills last year. This one's worse than that. I noted that Adam Simpson questioned whether it was intentional yesterday. I don't think it gets any more intentional than that.
And yeah.
Obviously, a lot of people are saying it's out of character for Gaff, and it is, but I don't think that's any reason to save him from a pretty severe punishment, I think, at the tribunal, which will happen tomorrow night.
I think absolutely. I think it was pretty raw for both coaches. They said things that I don't think really made a lot of sense, with Adam Simpson's sure. comments on it being intentional. And then obviously Ross Lyon calling it a king hit. It's not a king hit. I mean, it's a punch in the face. It's definitely not on, but it's not a king hit.
Yeah, I agree.
It's, what do you think we're going to see from this? You think Gaff's going to get 3 weeks? Four? What are we expecting?
No, it'll be way more than that. Don't worry about that. So Tom Bugg got 6 last year, and that was rated as high impact. This one has to be severe, given that Brayshaw's got a broken jaw. Mm. He had surgery last night, 3 teeth displaced. He can't eat solids for 4 weeks, and he won't play again this year. So this is beyond what Bugg did to Mills last year. So, 6 was that one. This one should be 7 minimum in my eyes. Barry Hall got 7 weeks, and that was 10 years ago. I think we've certainly got much higher standards these days, or tougher standards, whichever way you want to say it. But some people over here, some prominent commentators, saying 6 to 8, that's ex-players. One even said up to 12. Nathan Jones talking about a send-off rule again. Of course, that debate will fire up again.
Yep.
For me, this is a minimum 7, maybe 8 weeks, and definitely season over for Gaff. And then you have to wonder whether he's going to play again for West Coast. He's a free agent. There's a lot of Victorian clubs chasing him at the moment. So it may have been his last game for the Eagles. We'll have to wait and see on that.
Yeah. Now, Andrew Gaff, when it all went down, we saw Freo Docker players starting to kind of target him. Do you think the send-off rules should apply in situations like this?
I'm not so sure. I think probably. Imagine if it happens in a grand final, a player, you know, a team loses one of their key players because of an act like that, then maybe the player that committed that act should go off as well. I would probably say yes, there should be a send-off rule, but it also puts a lot more pressure onto the umpires. Imagine sending someone off. You've got to get that right. You see it in soccer and rugby union, rugby league. They all have the send-off rule, and if you get it wrong, then it's a major stuff-up. But So I would probably say yes, I think we should have a send-off rule, but I understand the debate going both ways.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, you know, the last thing we need is more rules put into the footy. But I don't like the idea of a guy being out there that's just knocked one of their teammates. And obviously, people are going to get heated. Of course they are.
Yeah, and when it's that blatant, I think it's pretty clear that you would be able to send a guy off. So, I would say yes, let's bring one in.
Absolutely. And before we wrap it up, I know West Coast Eagle fans are copping a bit of heat on social media for standing up after the game and applauding Gaff. I don't think a lot of people realise that there was no replay shown on those screens at Optus Stadium.
Yeah, so that's an interesting one. I guess you'd have to ask the fans themselves why they were applauding, but they didn't get to see a replay by our report. So I don't know why you call Optus Stadium a world-class stadium and you don't get a replay of the biggest incident in the game. That's a bit of a weird one for me. Maybe they thought it might incite a bit of stuff in the crowd. But
yeah.
They're obviously showing support for their player. He looked like he was pretty emotional about it soon afterwards. And again, that doesn't excuse what he did. But yeah, I guess they were supporting his player. Maybe once they've seen the replay, they might have a bit of a different reaction. But yeah, just a terrible incident, and one that's got the whole footy world talking.
Absolutely, mate. So Gaff, you reckon at least 6 weeks?
Oh, absolute minimum. Yeah, I'd say 7+. For me, 7 or 8 probably feels about right. But yeah, that's a personal opinion. I think a lot of people I've seen anywhere from 6 to 12. But yeah, 7 or 8 for mine.
Absolutely. Shane Hope, thanks for the chat today.
Anytime, Alan.
Yesterday, I went for a bit of a bush hike, a bit of a walk around Greystown. It was fantastic. The weather kind of held out, which is great. But at one point, I noticed a footprint in the sand. And a few people think that I've made it up. But no, it was 100%. This is what it looked like. I took a photo of it, put it up on the Facebook page at Triple M Southwest and on the Instagram page as well. It didn't take too long for people to let me know that it wasn't what I thought it was. It was a kangaroo paw print, but I'd never seen it like that. I thought it was pretty cool. I thought it was maybe like a Southwest Cougar paw print, which is why I was very, very excited. And speaking of the Southwest Cougar, I think he's calling to rub it in. Hey, Southwest Cougar, how are you, mate?
Oh, hello, Alan. I thought you were looking for me.
Now, to be clear, Southwest Cougar, I wasn't looking for you. I just saw a footprint, and I thought that maybe it belonged to you.
You can't find me, even.
Well, you know, it was, like, animal-shaped, and I thought it was... I know, I'd never seen anything like that before. I thought maybe it belonged to you.
Do you really think that I would leave a footprint like that?
I don't know what type of footprint you would leave, mate. I don't know. No.
Did it look like he was walking on his little tippy toes, even?
No.
That's how I walk around, either that or in a fresh pair of stilettos, am I right?
Why do you just call me to taunt me? I didn't get it, Southwest Cougar. What is your deal? I don't get it.
Because I like you, Alan. You seem trustworthy. A trustworthy kind of pal.
Yeah, but surely you know how crazy I look, considering a lot of people don't even think you exist, and I have you on the show all the time. It makes me look nuts.
I know they don't think I exist. I'm aware.
And the thing is, like, now we've had camera crews come and go, and I don't think they found anything, and they're gone now.
It was like an episode of Big Brother, even. I felt like a Hollywood starlet, and now they're gone.
Well, yes, they are.
Oh, and what am I to do, even? How am I meant to get to my rush? My fame, even?
You know what, Southwest Cougar? Maybe it's time you finally expose yourself. Let people see if you actually are real or not.
What do you want me to do? Pose in front of a farmer with a Nokia 3310, even? They wouldn't know what to do if they saw me. They would scare them, even. Probably try to wear my skin, even.
I don't know about that, but how about we just get an actual clear photo of you that's not blurry... at daytime. How about that? How does that sound?
I'll make you a deal. I'll expose myself once you let Cliff Reeve expose himself for wearing a wig, even. Am I right?
Southwest Cougar, it's a fair deal, but I can honestly tell you, I sit next to him every day. He does not wear a wig. That is 100% his real hair.
Oh, you're kidding me. Look how thick it is. He's like 104 years old, even. It's definitely a wig.
I'm telling you, no plug, no wig. That is all natural Cliff Reeve's hair. I promise you, Southwest Cougar.
All right, I gotta go now. Hope your day's perfect, Alan. Have a good one. Bye.
Mwah, okay, mwah. Bye, Southwest Cougar. All right, don't be in a hurry to call me back. That's all right. All right. It comes to talking all things Bridgetown. I always chat to Anita from the Bridgetown Visitor Centre. Good morning.
Good morning, Alan. How are you?
I am doing well. I was just in your neck of the woods yesterday at Freemasons having my palmy. It was fantastic. Shrimp and palmy come together at last. Shrimp on the palmy. Great name.
It's different.
Now, when it comes to talking all things food, there is something coming up, a street food trail.
Yes, it's a local producer street food trail. It's on Saturday between 9 and 2. So you can wander down the main street of Bridgetown. And not only can you go to our lovely cafes, but there'll be local producers and their produce available for tasting.
Yeah, I love that. That's always a bit of fun. Also, a murder mystery night's coming up.
Yes, Nelson's Hotel's having a murder mystery night. It's a themed evening, and it's played out over a four-course dinner, including a wine tasting. Ooh. And tickets are available from Nelson's.
Yeah, that sounds pretty fun. Also, residential artists. That's pretty cool when an artist takes residence.
It is, and it's in the Donnelly River Holiday Village. We haven't talked about it before. They've been there since early July, but we've got several artists in residence in the cottages there. And you can visit on Saturdays between from 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. and see the works they've produced and hear about what they get up to at the Donnelly River. And Donnelly River is a really beautiful heritage-listed former timber mill town site.
Yeah, okay, that's cool.
It's now a holiday village, and it's a brilliant place for families, for kids.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, we talked about this before, the banquet on the bridge. It was sold out, like always, ridiculously quick. But now 4 tickets have just become available.
They have. We have 4 tickets available. If people are still interested, if they contact the visitor centre, we'll be able to tell them how to access them.
Ah, it's going to be quick, but those are going to get snapped up real quick.
I would suggest they would be, yeah. It's an absolutely fantastic day.
Yeah, for sure. Excellent. Well, thank you very much for the chat. I appreciate it. Take care.
No worries. See you next week.
With your weekend sports roundup, it's Out of Bounds on the Southwest's Triple M.
Yes, Mr. Daniel Leach joins me now to talk all things sports, mate. How are you?
Going well. Did anything happen in the Derby yesterday that I should know?
No, better you don't know, to be honest, as a West Coast Eagles supporter.
Yeah, no. The Eagles won, didn't they?
They did win.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Just thought I'd check that.
In a jaw-dropping game, mate.
We'll get to that in just a moment or so, but let's look at the local sport first because yes. Both the Southwest Footy League and Lower Southwest Footy Leagues, important games over the weekend. Big win by Augusta Margaret River. They keep their finals hopes alive. They beat the Eton Boomers by 21 points. Collie Eagles, big win for them. They beat Kerry Park, and that gives them, Kerry Park that is, a few worries. They're probably just a bit too far away now from making the finals, but a good win by the Collie Eagles in that particular game. Harvey Brunswick Leschenault in a wet game. End up winning by 20 points over Busselton. South Bunbury, big winners over the Harvey Bulls. They had to put their foot down, had to get some percentage on the board. They did exactly that. They won by 81. And the big game yesterday, first versus third, Donnybrook, a team that are on top of the table, getting beaten by Bunbury. Bunbury getting the win there. They won by 27 points. Huge win there. What it turns out to be for next weekend, round 16, is that first will play second. Third will play fourth. Fifth will play sixth. Seventh plays eighth. And ninth plays tenth.
I love it.
That's happening next weekend in the South.
Couldn't write it any better.
It is really, really fantastic. But there's, you know, a lot of important games coming up in the lead up to the finals there. In terms of the lower South West Football Leagues, there were some big, big results over the weekend. Dean Mill, big winners by 115 over Southerners. Tigers put 190 on the board. 29 goals, 16-190 to Kojinup's 5-131.
Oh, wow.
I know. And Imperials a big win over Bridgetown as well. Look, I mean, Southerners still slightly in with the hunt. With a chance of making the finals, but they need to win just about every single game by 200 points.
Yep.
So it's probably not going to happen, but Bridgetown stumbling on the weekend. All right, let's get to the AFL. Let's start with Friday and Saturday, because how incredible was Friday and Saturday's football?
Exactly.
You had 3 points, 3 points, 4 points, 3 points, 2 points in terms of the results of five of the six games that happened on Friday and Saturday. One of the most remarkable starts to a round that we've ever seen. Started off Friday night. Geelong looked like they were going to fight back and get the win over Richmond. Didn't end up happening.
I was really hoping it was going to happen. I never root for Geelong as well. So.
That's understandable. I thought your lads were going to get run over for a second there by Essendon.
Yeah, I was watching the game in and out, and then my wife just kept trying to talk to me, and I said, no, you need to let me watch this last 5 minutes. I'm very scared. I'm very, very scared.
Brisbane had an opportunity to win over North Melbourne. They got unlucky with a kick a couple of minutes before the end of the game. Adelaide controversially winning over Port Adelaide with
they shouldn't have got that. That wasn't a goal.
Something that should have been it should have been called hitting the post. Yep. However, I get the feeling they had enough momentum. They probably would have been able to get a goal at some point.
Yeah, there's still a few minutes left.
Yep. And then Sydney and Collingwood. Collingwood looked like they were going to overrun Sydney, and then the Swans get a goal late in the game there. Then we get to yesterday. Yep. What gets overshadowed is that West Coast were very good yesterday. Fremantle weren't horrible. Yeah. They still managed to score 13 goals.
One of their highest scores they've had in the last few. Normally they're averaging, about 60?
Yep. That's right.
They got up to 84.
Yeah, that's right.
Against West Coast, which is very, very good.
Yeah, no, admirable performance by Fremantle. But of course, everyone is talking about what happened with Andrew Gaff and Andrew Brayshaw. How do we reconcile this as a football fan? Because you know what, every time I see the incident, I think back 10 years ago. I was lucky enough to be in Sydney at a fateful night at the Olympic Stadium where Barry Hall decided
you
to
were
go.
There.
I was there.
Wow.
And go whack on Brent Staker. I remember me and my mum were there.
Yep.
I was ready to walk out. Sort of 20 minutes to go, and Mum's like, no, we're staying. I was like, okay, fine. But I can remember the rage that I had seeing that incident and how disgusted I was at Barry Hall. Now, I understand Andrew Gaff has a clean record. He's never done anything like this before. But you know what? He still did it. And Fremantle fans have every reason to be raging. Mm-hmm. West Coast fans, a lot of conjecture about whether it was shown on the big screen or not and all that sort of thing.
Yep.
It happened so far off the ball that it may have been shown once on the screen, but there's every chance that a lot of the fans did not see it.
I want to believe a lot of fans didn't see it from what the general thing coming out of it.
So for the reaction that the Eagles fans had afterwards, okay. Look, at the absolute worst, I remember that Sydney game, and I remember Sydney fans cheering like crazy for the rest of the game for Barry Hall.
Really?
It's just what football fans do. They get behind their own person, and they make sure that they go, no, we're still behind you. And so that's going to happen in football. That's going to happen in football crowds, whether we like that or not. I get frustrated with this talk about deliberate actions and, you know, was what Andrew Gaff intentional in terms of, he didn't intentionally manage to hit him in the jaw. Maybe he was trying to intentionally.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. He still tried to intentionally hit the guy. And that in itself is just not on. Yeah. And you know the other thing that comes into my mind? Remember last week the video that was going around of the three blokes walking down the street in Victoria?
Yep.
One guy just gets absolutely coward punched. And his mate next to him is just laughing. Now, I know it's not that extreme, but it is. You see that instant, you see something like that, and you just cringe. It needs to go out of football. Stuff like that cannot happen. Andrew Gaff, there is every chance that he may have played his last game for the West Coast Eagles. He could very well get 5-6 rounds of football off, which could mean that he's out for the grand final. What will be interesting is if Andrew Gaff, let's say he had decided to leave the football club, whether he's now thinking to himself, I need to now try and make this up to the football club, I'm going to stay.
Yeah.
It could very well change that dynamic. So it'll be fascinating to see what happens. He'll go straight to the tribunal. It will happen tomorrow, and a lot more to be said in the next 48 hours.
You may be aware in Perth, they are currently constructing a brand new museum. Millions and millions have been put in to make this thing absolutely incredible. And what's going to be right there in the forefront will be something featuring from Busselton, a 120-year-old whale skeleton, which is very, very cool. Now, what they're wanting from us is a name for the skeleton. So if you want to get involved, the best way to do so is by going to the website museum.wa.gov.au/blue whale. That is museum.wa.gov.au/blue whale. Or just Google search Museum WA. I'm sure you'll find something that will come up. And then you can name it. They've already ruled out you're not allowed to call it Whale McWhaleface. Obviously, that coming from the joke a couple of years ago when we decided to name a boat, Boaty McBoatface. So you're not allowed to do that. I'm sure that they'd prefer some distinguished whale name like Eric or Paul, or I have no idea. But it'll be very cool knowing that something from Busselton is at the forefront and the main attraction in the museum for Perth. And can't wait for this to be finished. I love museums. So very, very cool.